Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What's up, everybody? This is the intro before the intro for episode 507. Kirk Winstein is coming in just a bit. I'm wearing a different outfit, though. Those of you watching on the video, you'll see that my outfit changes once Kirk gets in here. That's because I had to wear the incognito dad outfit that I normally wear when I go on whatever business meetings and stuff. So you can make fun of my dress shirt, but I had a big audition for the voice of a mascot for a very large brand. And if I get it, keep your fingers crossed that I get this gig. If I do get it, there's going to be a lot of great things that we will bring into Gas Digital. And right before I got here, and the reason why I put in content in the intro before the intro, because I realize that a lot of you support our sponsors or you donate to the show, and I want to make sure if you listen to the intro before the intro that you get a little extra content that's not in the actual episode. So thank you for not skipping over this, and I do try to put some content in as much as I can. So before I got here, I was talking to Ralph, and my contract's up for renewal here at Gas Digital, and I'm Gas Digital ride or die. This is what happens with an upstart company with great people that are trying to really make a difference in the podcast business and really become better broadcasters and better providers of content. There's ups and downs. And so, yeah, we lost the app, but we're still rocking. We got new shows coming on board. And if I extend my contract, which I plan to do, I'm going to be trying to bring in more bonus content, doing licensing deals and things like that, where I can put up more content on my bonus content page and on my regular private RSS feed. So if you were a previous subscriber and you want to come back, go to gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the promo code JOSTA. The price is going up, so do it soon. I think it's going to be $9, but if you use my code, it'll be how much, Brian? Like $7.50 a month or whatever?
Yeah, I think it's like $7 and change.
And so I really need everybody's help, especially our subscribers. If there's stuff that isn't up on other streaming platforms, whether it's a comedy special, short film, music, old releases, demo tapes from old bands, anything that we can license for content that you think would be good for our subscribers, shoot me an email, jostashow@gmail.com. Again, this is episode 507. Kirk Winstein's coming in just a second. Today's episode is brought to you by Lakeside Maple, my favorite trail mix out there. Because you know what? I want a real trail mix made by real people. Not on some fucking conveyor belt in a factory made by robots with no love. Lakeside Maple is made by real people with real maple syrup. Hold on, I gotta turn this down. I'm getting fucking riffed out in here. It's incredible. It just as a snack by itself or as a great addition to your yogurt in the morning, you're gonna love it. If I had to compare Lakeside Maple to like an actor, it would be like they're like the Robert De Niro of trail mix. All the other fucking trail mix out there is like Nicolas Cage, like one is just a cut above the rest. You know what I'm saying? No diss to Nicolas Cage. Face Off was okay. I want to see The Color Out of Space, which is coming out. Looks good. But and I know, listen, De Niro hasn't had the best. No. Anyways, back to Lakeside Maple. Go to lakesidemaple.com. Use promo code JOSTA. Get 15% off your order. Big thanks to lakesidemaple.com. Use that code JOSTA. Also, send me what you've been watching, what you've been listening to. Leave a voicemail for Jim Florentine. Anybody who wants a question or comment read on the show for Jim Florentine, 201-677-8032. He's coming in. Who else we got coming in? We got a bunch of people coming in, but I don't have it in front of me. I want to say thank you to everyone who donated over at Venmo, also at paypal.me/Josta. I think Venmo is just at Jamie Josta, but so many people go above and beyond for the show, and I really appreciate it. So thank you to Miles Larson from Westfield, Indiana. Also, Cooper Yayaloris from Colorado Springs. Is that a Greek? We have a lot of Greek listeners. The Greeks love the heavy shit, the hard shit. They love the metal. Shout out to all the Greeks. Yayaloris. Hopefully I'm saying your name right, Cooper. Hey, we got Giannis Pappas coming in too. Shout out to the Greeks. Giannis Pappas, powerful, powerful Greek right there. Jake Olszewski in Las Vegas, Nevada, always repping the show, always supporting us. We appreciate it, Jake. Also, Ben Lee in Weathersfield, CT. Ben Lee's coming for Jake's crown, I think. He wants the number one podcast supporter crown, I think. Ben Lee's coming hard. Also, Spencer Fleming in Stories from the Crowd blog in Omaha, Nebraska. Shout out to Spencer in the blog, and I'm sure, you know, a lot of band people listen to this, so link up, you know, have Spencer review your show or review your demo or your CD or your single or whatever, you know, you want to send Spencer at Stories from the Crowd blog. Also, Michael Hernandez from Arlington, Texas. Shout out to all our Texas diehards. This is for you. So thanks again to Miles, Cooper, Jake, Ben, Spencer, and Michael. Today's episode is also brought to you by IndieMerchStore.com, your one-stop shop for all things metal, death metal, grind metal, black metal, vegan metal, handicap metal. I mean, we got it all. I don't know. I'm handicap metal. That's my genre. Check it out. IndieMerchStore.com. Use the code 15JASTA. Brian's in there cracking up, looking at me. 15JASTA is the new code. Get your some 1349, some Death Restock, some Cannibal Corpse. I got George coming back on the show. Got to rock my Cannibal Corpse shirt when he comes in. I got to be that guy when George comes here. What else they got? They got the new Heaven Shall Burn pre-order. They got flags. They got accessories. IndieMerchStore.com. Use the promo code 15JASTA. Big thanks to Indie Merch. So the single's up, When the Blade Drops, the U.S. tour got announced, come see Parkway Drive, Hatebreed, Knocked Loose, and Fit for a King. Tickets are on sale Friday, February 21st, parkwaydriverock.com. Don't hit me up about why you're not playing this city. I'm not the agent. I'm just direct support on this tour. I don't know why. I assume they chose these venues because they allow pyro, because they're bringing the full European production. So this is the only time you're going to see this. Get your tickets, and, you know, out of all the summer tours, I got to say, and I know there's a lot of traffic out there, I got to say, I think this package is a banger, and I really appreciate Parkway Drive putting together such an awesome tour. They're just a great band and great people, and their whole camp is great, and this is going to be a really good time. And I see people hitting me up about Corn Faith No More, Deftones, Gorgeira, Rammstein, and I realize, look, those tickets are not cheap, but this, I think what Parkway's doing is an affordable ticket price. I think you get and I'm not just saying this because I'm on the tour. I just think you get the most bang for your buck. I especially have been seeing a lot of people complaining about Rage Against the Machine ticket prices, and I don't think it's, you know, necessarily the band's fault. I think a lot of it's ticket resellers and stuff, but let me know what tickets you got for summer shows and spring shows, or even I see some fall tours are even going on sale pretty soon. So josstheshow@gmail.com, let me know, and let me know what you paid and how much you paid in fees and whatnot, because that's something I'm always getting asked about, and I'm going to have to start, you know, commenting more about on the show. But I feel like this Parkway Drive, Hatebreed, Knocked Loose, Fit for a King tour is a great ticket price, great value, and we're going to bring a hell of a show, so it's going to be awesome. Today's episode is also brought to you by Rebel 8. On that Parkway Drive, Hatebreed, Knocked Loose, Fit for a King tour, you're going to see me rocking Rebel 8 all day and night, baby. It's the best streetwear brand I own. I want you to check it out over at Rebel8.com after the show today. You'll see the new Slayer collab. The only place you're going to get a 20% discount is here on the Jotsa Show. So big thank you to Rebel 8, one of the best streetwear brands, a great American success story. So many of their products are made in America, and they're just quality products that I wear and I own and I love. Rebel8.com, use the promo code JOSTA20 and you will save 20%. I think that's it for now. I should shout out martyrstore.net because Kirk is going to be in here signing the stuff to put up on Martyr Store. We got some Dream in Motion LPs and some Kingdom LPs. Oh, he's signing a bunch of the JOSTA CDs that he sang on a song with me on. So martyrstore.net. And I think that's it, really, like, for plugs. Oh, no, we got to talk about E1. E1's coming on board. I'm really excited about this. Big shout out to E1. They have a heavy division of the label. Kirk is on E1, so this is a great synergy for today's episode. And I want to shout out Scott and Bill and Steve and everybody over at E1. But so check it out. E1 just put out Creeping Death. They're a death metal band from Texas that has taken the current metal scene by storm. And you might be hearing a little announcement about these guys, Brian, coming up pretty soon. So, you know, keep an eye out for Creeping Death. But right now I want to tell you about their current album, which is a mix of traditional death metal brutality and the fury of classic thrash. Check out the tracks Bloodlust Contamination, which was ranked in the 25 best songs of 2019 by Revolver, and also Ripping Through Flesh. Check those tracks out after the podcast today. Make sure you add them, download them, you know, on your Apple Music, Spotify, and all that good stuff. But big thanks to E1 Heavy and E1 Entertainment. You know, they're gonna be sponsoring the podcast for the next month, and I'm really excited to have them on board. We're gonna tell you about a bunch of their great releases and stuff they got coming out very, very soon. All right. We got Mr. Kirk Winstein, the Riff Beast himself, now on to the show.
My friend, the lead singer of Hatebreed, the infamous and notorious Jamie Jasta, is in the building.
That's what's up.
Jamie Jasta from the metal band Hatebreed. That guy's famous.
Coffee, death metal, and push-ups.
That's Jamie Jasta. Remember Jamie Jasta? You know him. He's a podcaster, but he's also a metal man.
I would say delete that.
That shit is hard.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the show. It's episode... You could leave that in. That's great. It's episode 5... What's up? It's episode 507. Kirk Winstein, the Riff Beast, back on the show.
Rocker, glad to be here.
Dude, thank you so much.
Great to see you, man.
in New York City.
Absolutely.
And everybody who's watching on YouTube, don't mind us. We're signing Jasta CDs, Kirk's new album, Dream in Motion, which just came out in January. Already on the best of lists, I see, for 2020. So congratulations.
So fun. Yeah, man.
Dude, Rolling Stone, that was cool. For them to give you a mention.
They've been good to Crowbar and now to me as well. So that's great, man. I really appreciate it. I
kind of feel bad because I've always kind of donged off Rolling Stone since the whole Boston Bomber cover. I'm like, can we get a band on the cover? like this is what we're resorting to, is like a guy bombs the fucking race and he gets the cover. Like,
which dude was it?
Do you remember that? Can you pull that up, Ryan, to see if that was real? Right? Didn't they give? And meanwhile, we shouldn't be saying this guy's name. We shouldn't be.
That's what he wants, you know.
Meanwhile, he's probably like getting more fucking nudes sent to him in prison. You know, that's what happens, right? These guys like shoot up a school.
Yeah, and everybody goes crazy over him. You know, all these chicks are idolizing him. And
yeah, look at this. They gave him the fucking cover of Rolling Stone.
Wow.
Anyway, so now they're giving you love, so I can't be mad at them anymore, right? Because they're giving, even though I don't think they're in print, I think it's. Do they still print the magazine?
Dude, you got me.
they gave you some love on the solo album, Dream in Motion.
I appreciate it. I will definitely take that any day.
And E1 is doing a great job. Your label mates with Ace. Do you say Fraley or Freely?
I say Freely, but it's kind of Fraley, I think, proper.
Yeah.
And Ace Fraley. Yeah, so, yeah.
On lead guitar.
Yeah, they got Zach, you know, BLS and old Ace, so... I'm in good company on that label with all those guys, no doubt.
For sure. And shout out to Bill and everybody at E1. They did a great job with the record. And these things are shrink. I'm unshrink wrapping them right now for Kirk to sign. And we're going to put all these up in martyrstore.net because people loved the song you did on the Jost album. Thank you again for doing that.
Oh, thank you for having me, man. That was fun, too.
And and so when I did the pre-orders, they're like, how come you didn't have Kirk sign any? And I just don't think... I saw you, right? Because I had seen you like back in June.
It has been a while.
And so when I heard you were coming to New York for this, which is great. Speaking of which, is this all on Hasbro's dime now? Like, should I ask Bill?
You should ask Bill.
Do you know that E1 got bought out by Hasbro? Yeah, yeah. So I was like, man, maybe this is going to
Hasbro as well. Right?
Yep. All I know is I didn't anticipate on doing any press tours, and we did. We did a lot of press out in California during the Dime Bash, and now I'm in New York, so hey.
Dude, you went to NAMM?
No, I didn't. Actually, I didn't. Oh, okay. I did Dime Bash, and I did promo stuff only.
Because that was the first thing I was going to ask you about and talk to you about was, like, I saw NAMM, and I saw everybody doing signings, and I saw everything, and I'm like, this should be our goal for 2021 is to call out all these fools, and I shouldn't say fools, but... I get emotional because I'm like, I get angry because I'm like, you should have your own amp, your own signature model, your own pedals. But this is maybe something that we can work together on.
Totally.
To launch in 2021.
Yeah, I'm all about it.
I said, I tweeted Kirk, hashtag Kirk is our Lemmy, or I don't know, I put it on Instagram or whatever, and I got so many messages, make shirts, Kirk is our Lemmy, make shirts, make Riff B shirts. And so when I see... guys and girls from bands that no one even knows, and they have their own signature stuff. I'm like, something is wrong here. Like,
dude, I remember talking to Wolf Hoffman from Accept, who's, you know, one of my favorite bands and favorite guitar players, and he finally got, I think Framus Guitars, a German company, finally gave him the Wolf Hoffman, like, White Flying V signature series or whatever, and he was like, you know, I've tried for a long time, and he goes, I would like to think that I had something to do with young guys picking up a White Flying V. You know, it's like,
yeah,
he's just, you know, he's an unbelievable player, great songwriter, and a great band, you know, and it's like, you know, here's a guy is, Jesus, this is back about 9 years ago or something, but still, you know, it took him forever to get any type of, like, real signature series thing going on.
So after selling millions and on major label records, MTV play.
Well, at least like a German company. I mean, that's what gets me. They make such good stuff in Germany. They really do. And I don't just mean automobiles and shit. It's just, you know, they got a lot of good companies there that are smaller companies. And it's like, look, he's a German guy that's, you know, he's a god over there. It's like, you know, get this man his own signature series guitar.
Were you ever like brand loyal like that, like to cars or to anything?
Dude, I'm literally like, you know, some guys are brand loyal. Where it's got to be like this. It's got to be. I try everything. Like, you can give me a fucking. You can make your own guitar in your garage and give it to me. And if it plays good, sounds good, and stays in tune good, and looks cool, hey man, I'll play that motherfucker on stage.
See, that's what I'm thinking we're gonna need to do. We're going to need to find someone who's young and smart and realizes your impact and your influence and is willing to do what maybe the other companies don't work. And this is like the, I guess, one of the main things that holds people back in all sorts of entertainment, right? Is like, you can't make someone see what you see or hear what you hear or acknowledge like what you acknowledge. It's like, if they don't know it, if they don't see obvious things in the market that would lead them to believe that it would lead to sales.
Right.
It's like everybody's will claim a hit once it's a hit, right?
That's a good way of putting it. It's true.
And that's what I think is maybe just the only thing that's held you back from landing these stuff. And also, you know, having the right person to do the deal, I think is another thing. To if someone doesn't know that world, it's like, it's kind of like what I was going up against when we did Metal Dudes Doing Non-Metal Things. It's like,
yeah,
we don't know YouTube, we don't know how to get in the algorithm so that it's the next, you know, so after you see a Crowbar video or after you see a Hatebreed or a Fear Factor video, that's the next video that pops up, you know.
Right.
And so, you know, when the show didn't get the views that we were hoping it was going to get,
because I thought it was a genius idea. and I had a blast doing that one at fucking Bloodstock, man.
And everybody said, get Kirk his own show. He needs his own show. But you, it's like, yeah, that would be easy if that video got a million views.
Right, but it doesn't, so.
So now we got to go to the next project.
So yeah, right. Well, as always, you know, as long as you're creative, and you are very creative. But, there's always other ways. There's always something else out there. You just got to keep being creative, and you'll find, you know, what it takes.
Well, it'll be something good to shoot for, I think, for when the new Crowbar drops, which, you know, everybody that knew that you were coming on is super excited about.
Oh, I'm very. I mean, we're so far ahead of schedule. In fact, Shane, our bass player, finished. He hit me up late last night. I was already sleeping. Finished tracking the bass last night, so all of the music for the record is tracked. So this week when I get home, I start writing lyrics and singing. So we're
great.
Doing really good. I mean, it's only the 6th of February, whatever the heck today is. But, you know, it's way ahead of schedule from what I anticipated, you know.
So
and it's great. I love the record.
So it could be a summer release.
That's what I'm thinking. I mean, of course, Bill knows more than me, but I'm thinking, I see no reason, honestly, why, you know, we can't put it out in June or something like that, because it should be completely mixed, turned in and all that. I mean, like, put it this way. I'm going to have it. It'll be done and the mixing will be started before we even leave for that Sepultura Sacred Rite run. It looks like we're leaving in kind of early March, early to mid-March. So, I mean, it should be done, you know, by then.
Great. No, I can't wait. And that tour is going to be awesome.
I'm excited for it, big time.
I forgot that they did that new Titans on the Block tour back in the day.
Oh, they sure did. All right, because it almost played in New Orleans, well, right outside of New Orleans in Chalmette. A friend of mine was trying to promote it, and he couldn't get the proper PA or something, you know, and it just ended up not playing in our area. But yeah, I remember that now. That's way back.
Isn't that cool that in a way them, Sick of It All, Sacred Reich, because who was on it originally? It was Sepultura, Napalm Death, Sick of It All, Sacred Reich for New Titans on the Block?
I know Sepultura, Sacred Reich for sure.
And Sick of It All.
I think it probably was Sick of It All because at that time, I still love the band, but I was really into them, you know, around that time. So
yeah,
it was probably Sick of It All.
But that was, like, I think one of, if not the first tour that really had, like, the death metal and the hardcore crossover with the thrash.
Right. And that was a great mixture of all three of those genres, just like you said. No doubt about it.
And even though at that time, and I remember kids in my school going, oh, man, there's going to be fights. I don't know if I want to go to that. Like, I think... You know, it's great that they did that because, in a way, that kicked down the door for, you know, Agnostic Front to do it with Cannibal Corpse and Obituary,
right.
And then us to, you know, try to
If you like heavy, aggressive music, it doesn't, you know, just because, okay, say it's a hardcore band like Agnostic or something, you know, just because they're not ripping these, you know, neoclassical guitar solos or something during the heavy thrash, you know, the heavy fast beats and shit, doesn't mean it's not great fucking music and great songs. It's still aggressive. It's got a lot of heart and soul and a lot of real meaning to it, as all music should. And, you know, I mean, I'm a fan of a lot of styles, of course, you know that, but heavy music wise, man, you know, I just like the whole spectrum, you know. I listen to a band, I'll be like, "Who is that?" Because I'm not really up on things. I'm kind of old, but and I'll be like, "Oh, that's a new so and so." I'm like, "Man, I fucking really dig that," you know. Which I guess I may have had a preconceived vision or something of not liking the band just because of the name or the album cover, or this or that or whatever. And then I finally hear this shit, and I'm like, "It's fucking great." You know, you got to have an open mind. I mean, Jesus.
I think that genre used to be decided like strictly on like what you wore and the hair. And Brian and I were just talking about that because we had two comedians on the previous show, Don Jameson, who you know, and
yeah.
And Chris Johnston, a hilarious comedian. He's going to be out with Impractical Jokers. And I was saying, we do a segment. If I have a comedian on where we listen to death metal, it's great to see their like reaction to death metal.
Uh-huh.
So we have this guy coming on the next show or the show after the next show, this guy, Giannis Pappas. And we were listening to some death metal to try to play him. Cause I don't think he's even knows any metal. We'll see. We're going to ask him. but so we were like, is this band death metal? And I forget what they were called, but Brian goes, well, they're kind of like, it kind of sounds like metalcore. But then when you see them, I was joking with him. I said, well, if they had short hair and were wearing like, you know, sneakers, like, or whatever, they would be metalcore. But when you see them, they look kind of like black metal, death metal. So that's
Earth Rot.
I've heard of them. Yeah.
Yeah. It's good. It's like blackened death metal, or I don't know. What would you call it?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of black metal in there for sure.
But if you played like, you know, Bleeding Through or Winds of Plague, and if you just played that to someone, they'd be like, oh, this is symphonic black metal or symphonic death metal or something. And then if you told them the name of the band, they'd be like, no, that's metalcore,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's cool to see that Sepultura, Sacred Reich, and you are going out again. Here, let me get the string wrap off.
I know. You want it off of them?
No, just kind of like, I just rip it open. We're both going to sign it. Dude, by doing the song, we kind of did get a lot of interest. You know, people like, bring back Kingdom.
Yeah, I get that all the time, man, and I'm not kidding. And I just tell them, you got to ask Justin.
Well, I think it's something we could definitely do in 2021. I do have here, I'll make a stack over here. I have Anjosta for All coming out in December. I have the Hatebreed coming out in
what again?
And Anjosta for All.
Dude, that rules.
When I announced it as a joke, like 3 inches of blood, a bunch of people hit me, a bunch of bands were like, you better name the album that. If you don't name the album that, I'm gonna be pissed. I was like, fuck it. Now, I don't think I'm gonna be able to advertise the artwork. I'm just gonna put like a black cover.
Yeah.
Because I don't wanna get any problems. But dude, I got a kid. I gotta shout this kid out. I got a kid working on the cover. It's gonna be so good. So I got the Hatebreed record coming out in hopefully the spring. So say like May or whatever. Let's just call it May for now. Right? Because didn't they just announce the Lamb of God is coming out May 8th? So I think because we're on the same label as Testament and Nightwish and Lamb of God, we need to
work y'all one at a time, of course.
I think. Right. I mean, we wanted it to come out in April. We were trying to have it come out in April, but I think Testament's April 3rd. I think Lamb of God is May 8th, and I think we'll come like either between those two or after Lamb of God, which is fine. I mean, I would have liked to have it out. I really wanted to have it out by the Parkway tour, but they switched staff and switched owners, I think, of the label. I think they changed distributors, right? Like Nuclear Blast is, I think, distributed by Believe now, I believe. Pardon the pun. But so the Hatebreed's coming out, and then the Josta's going to come out in December because I want to do a Josta a year. Like I want to put a Josta out like every December from now on.
That's killer.
Just because I see now, you know, that streaming's, you know, bringing some income back into the business, and that, you know, there's no sense in keeping these songs on the hard drive and keeping these ideas.
No, I mean, if you got it, get it out there, you know.
Yeah, and this record is inspiring a lot of people. Dream in Motion, people are like, this is great. Like, this was the record I never knew I needed. And that, like, that's a big compliment.
Yeah, man, I was, you know, I've been, like, honestly, like, you know, wow, with the reaction to the record. I was honestly a bit nervous. Because it's so, you know, to me, it's so much different than Crowbar. Not the vibe or anything, but, you know, it's not all heavy songs, you know, hammer to the skull kind of, you know, riffs and shit like that. And, you know, I've been like, I can't say how happy I am, and I really appreciate the support. And, you know, it looks like it's pleasing the vast majority of Crowbar fans and bringing in some new audience, which is always a good thing.
For sure. And I mean, you've had like a lot of big name people come out and say they love the record. And like, I had Mark Morton texting me the other day, like, dude, your boy Kirk is killing it. I'm seeing him everywhere. He's got like over 100,000 views on the video. It sounds incredible. And I'm like, dude, I was like, same to you. I said,
I haven't heard it. And, you know, but I would love to, of course. But I mean, I see, his, you know, Mark's name everywhere with the acoustic record or whatever that he just had come out.
Well, and I think you guys should really work together. That I was going to say to you, like, I want to link you guys up.
Sure.
Because for his next EP, or if he does, now that the Lamb of God's coming out in May, who knows, if he has another Mark Morton record coming out next year or whatever, you should totally sing on a track. I sang on the new Lamb of God. I sang a track.
Oh, killer.
It's hard. The new record's awesome. But I love that, because he had hit me up and said, dude, this is killer. You got the Josta record that just came out, and now you got Kirk's record coming out. I said, dude, you inspire us too. Like, you couldn't do it without you and Lamb of God and all these bands.
Everybody, man. We're all in this thing together.
For sure. And we need more collaboration. I've always said less competition, more collaboration.
Yeah.
But now that we see how fragmented, you know, the fan bases can be, and this goes back to the tour with Sepultura and Sacred Reich and Crowbar. You know, we're seeing like that's going to benefit everybody. So Sacred Reich, they got all the old school thrash fans are coming out of the woodwork. People are really happy to have them back. Yeah, you know, I did a song with Phil, you know, on this record, and people are like, "Oh my God, that's so cool!" Like, and there's people that are into Sacred Reich, they've never even heard of Hatebreed. Who then
sure, it's true,
are listening to this, and vice versa. And so, I think between Lost Chapters 2, between Dream in Motion, and then the Crowbar record, then the Hatebreed record, then if I have Anjosta for All, I think for 2021 or 2022, I definitely want to do the Howard Jones. I want to do Jones Josta. Like, I want to do a whole record or an EP with Howard.
Right, right.
because we had such good response to Chasing Demons off the first Lost Chapters and Heaven Gets What It Wants on Lost Chapters 2. But then I thought, that way I can have that music be totally different from the Kingdom stuff.
Yeah.
Because Kingdom can be the sludgy, doomy.
Right, I mean, it's
down.
Got that. It's got Hatebreed and Crowbar shit in it blended together, but there's originality that's not on either one of our, you know, main bands, you know, discography, whatever you want to call it as well. But it's definitely closer to, okay, that sounds like a Jamie riff or a Hatebreed riff, and that sounds like a Kirk riff or a Crowbar riff, where, you know, stuff like Dream in Motion and all is different. The Josta stuff is a lot different than Hatebreed, and like Don Jameson said a little bit ago there, you know, if you're going to do something solo, whatever, why make it sound like your main project? Do something, it's got to be different, you know?
Yeah.
And there's going to be haters out there. There's going to be people, I don't like it, it's too commercial, it's not heavy enough. And I get it, and you're entitled to your opinion, but I mean, it makes no sense for me to write a solo record that sounds just like Crowbar, so...
Hey, everybody, it's Jamie jumping in here with a quick reminder. Those of you who are watching on YouTube, you can laugh at my incognito dad outfit that I post about every now and then on Instagram. Like I was saying in the intro before the intro, if you actually listen to that, I, you know, had to go on an audition for a company. I can't say who, but let me just say, if I get the gig to be the voice of their mascot, I'm going to buy Gas Digital. We're going to really fucking make some waves. But I want to remind you, today's episode is brought to you by Ridge Wallet. You can check it out right here. Ridge is the fucking one of the best wallets I own, if not the best ever. I'm going to say it's the GOAT wallet, really. It's the greatest of all time. They also make great duffel bags. I have a killer duffel bag that I travel with, and phone cases. It's all strong, really hefty, really quality, beefy stuff. So, like, I use words like that to describe Ridge, because Ridge, to me, as a brand, they're like Black Sabbath. Like, every other fucking brand out there is like Incubus, and fucking Ridge is Black Sabbath. Brian's in there laughing at my joke. Sorry, Incubus. Ridge makes everyday goods that... to a standard that you don't see a lot, and they help you streamline your life by turning things you carry like backpacks, chargers, wallets into tools for better living. Their flagship product, the Ridge Wallet, which those of you who are watching on YouTube will see right here. Look at that. Nice. You can even tighten it. It comes with a little screwdriver. I love it. I gave these things as gifts to my grandfather, my daughter's grandfather. Today's been a long day, Brian, but we will get through this, all right? The code is JOSTA at ridgewallet.com, and I really want to keep Ridge Wallet on board as a sponsor. Use the promo code JOSTA, and you're going to get all sorts of savings. I don't have the other page of copy here, so I apologize, but I truly love the Ridge, and I want everyone to go to ridge.com, promo code JOSTA. Now back to the show. I think that when you have these ideas, you're. I think any creative person is constantly dealing with being channeled, and you don't know why. And that's probably why we both have suffered from anxiety, because we have this energy that we need to get out, right? Or we need to deal with. And I think we've both had anxiety about releasing our music in the past when it's a victory, and it's liberating to get past that and just go, it is what it is, whether people like it or not, whether one person buys it or 100,000 people buy it. If the idea comes to me, why am I self-editing all throughout the process? Right?
I mean, that's what happened to me is I'm like, you know, and I'm like, oh my God, you know, telling Robin or something, like, I'm really, really nervous about doing this thing. You know, I think it's good. And Dwayne, you know, my producer thinks it's good, but I don't know what people are going to think of it. And now, you know, it's kind of like it was a sigh of relief or whatever when it was, you know, reviews started coming in and people started commenting on it. Of course, there's negative stuff, but, you know, in general, you know, I was like, wow, this is cool because it's something I can do again, you know, and it's people seem to be loving it. So I sure the hell can't complain about that, man.
Well, and I always say that I've said this on the podcast a bunch of times where you would say to me, like, riffs are a dime a dozen, you know, I'll just write another one. And I feel the same way about riffs, not to that point. Like, you'll play something and I'll be like, what was that? And you're like, I don't remember it. I'm like, no, it was the greatest riff ever. And you're like, no, it'll come back and whatever. I mean, that happened on both Kingdom records where you'll be like, just like, you fucking around with something is better than what most people actually put out. And so I started recording you, like, even when you didn't know.
It's a good thing because I'll fuck around on guitar at home or something, and then it could be, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning and I can't sleep or whatever, and I'll set up my phone and prop it up against something on a coffee table or whatever, and with no amp, and I'm like, all right, it goes like this, two and three and four, and I'm, you know, jamming it, and I wake up in the morning and go, yeah, it's a killer riff.
Yeah, well, dude, Brian, pull this up if you can. So we're on the couch at the Gregorian, I think.
Oh, Jesus, yeah.
We recorded a whole album that was like basically shelved.
Yes.
Right? And with a different...
For good reason.
With a different drummer and stuff. But so it's like 3 a.m, there's like empty Coors Light cans everywhere. Let me try to paint the picture. We're above a kid's garage.
Right. No.
His name is Greg, which Kirk then, of course, has to give him the nickname Gregorian. And there's no amp on or whatever. It's the middle of the night, and he starts, pull up Grieve a Lifetime. He starts playing this riff, and I go, what's that? And he's like, and Kirk is acting like it's not a big deal. And he's like, I don't know. I was just fucking around with that. I'm like, dude, we got to make that into a song. It's amazing. Listen to this riff. And I'm like, I don't know if you were going to even remember it in the morning.
Well, one of them, what is the name of that, though? We used to hit the drive-up place, they got breakfast and burgers and shit like that. It's right there.
Duchess.
Dude, I think it's a chorus just to this song, the wow, gong, 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 ow, the wow.
Oh, yeah. Song,
whatever it is. Dude, I wrote it whilst pooping at Duchess. Like, in my head, I'm like, oh, when we get back to the place, I got to keep this riff in my head. So I'm sitting on the toilet taking a shit, and I'm like, wow, gong, gong, ow, you know.
Play that riff. That riff's
hard. I think it's a chorus of that. I think it is.
I think it is. But so when we... It's okay. It's in Grieve a Lifetime. I think it's the chorus. He literally wrote that in his head while defecating at Duchess.
This
is it.
Yeah, I haven't heard that in so long, man. It's just badass.
Well, so now since we did Spill Blood Never Dries, people are finding both Kingdom records. New kids, great.
Right, right. Like, oh, wow, let me look into this shit. Which, it happens, man. You don't realize how long ago that was.
I know.
Like, the original Gregorian sessions were from, like, May of, like, 2005 or something. So,
right.
You know, Jesus, dude, it's been, yeah.
Yeah, it's been a long time. But so in a way... that led to us doing like all this stuff.
And yeah,
so,
big time.
So now I think, and this is one of the ways I deal with my anxiety, is I think back to then, which obviously I was drinking to deal with the anxiety instead of exercising, changing my diet, going to see a therapist, going to see a psychiatrist, you know, doing healthy things to get rid of the anxiety, writing things down, writing what you're anxious about, tearing it up, throwing away, going through like exercises of dealing. And to anybody out there who's on, you know, medication or whatever, like, look, everybody has a different way of dealing with it. But back then, I would get like a lyrical idea, and I would go, "Oh my God, I got to write this down." I get up out of bed. I was losing sleep, and I would go through these intense creative times, and then I would lose it.
Yeah.
And then I would be like, I'm done. Like, my career's over.
Right. I'll never come up with a good idea again.
Yeah. And then you don't realize that when you do something that makes everybody at the label money, they want you to do that again. So then they say, and I remember that with I Will Be Heard. The label said, okay, for the next record, do you have an I Will Be Heard? And I'm like, oh shit. And I remember being like, oh fuck, I need an I Will Be Heard. And then I played them This Is Now and Live For This, and they weren't hearing it.
Yeah.
And I said, no, I think it's really going to resonate with people, especially Live For This. I feel good about it. And still in our set, we got nominated for a Grammy for it. But seeing people not hear it and not feel it, who don't know the music, I would take that to heart and I would get like a chip on my shoulder. And I think now as a 42-year-old, being able to control my destiny, it's like, I don't need that anymore. I can just feel it and I can put it out on my own.
And look what happens when you do, you know?
Yes. And so, and I'm not discounting like A&R people. I'm not discounting the label because obviously like with E1, they've done a great job, you know, and your video was great. Shout out to Holder Beast, right? Holder Beast did the video?
No, Justin Reich.
Justin Reich. Yeah. Oh my God. Justin. Amazing.
Dude, he literally pulled it together and like we shot it like one evening, and then the next day, just until like the late afternoon or something, and he hung out and had a couple of beers with me. He's like, all right, man, I'm gonna get an Uber back to the hotel, and he's like, I'll have it ready like tomorrow or something. He emailed us like, this is the first cut. What are y'all thinking? And we're like, oh my God, it's perfect.
It's great.
Yeah, he's really good, man.
But that's, you know, a testament to your team, because even before you had planned, you know, to do the new Crowbar, Scott and Bill and everybody at E1 was gung-ho about you doing the solo record. And that, you know, if musicians are listening and they have a team like that that's supportive and that believe in them, then that's great. But it's also, I think, important for people of any creative background, whether it's painting, poetry, or whatever. It's like, if you have it in you, get it out, put it out, do what you can.
Yeah, I say that all the time. I do, especially like, you know, not just musician, you know, being a riff writer or a lyricist or whatever, but yeah, painting, anything that's art in any way that you need to express yourself, you know, get it out for sure, man.
Because this is what's going to live on. I mean, this is what's great. And like this morning on the train down, I was excited to see you, to see Robin, to see Don and everybody that's coming in and get another batch of podcasts done. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to use some of this time to respond to fans. And I got like choked up on the train. I was reading like these really heartfelt things. Like, you know, your lyric, I'll get emotional right now just talking about it.
I'm the same way.
And I wrote this one kid back. He's like, I've been having such a rough time and your music's been there for me. And I said, I was like, dude, this is what I need. This is going to power me forward today. I need this good energy.
Absolutely.
So thank you, you know, for reaching out. And I started thinking about like your legacy and your impact. And I was telling Don on the previous episode how I booked you guys so we could open.
Yeah.
And if you had told me then that, you know, now we're going to have all these hit songs and tours together and solo albums and projects, I would have been like, no way. And that kid would have had less anxiety.
Right. And, if you know how, you know.
Right. But in a way, it's like, there's something in us, the reason why we were given it, or the reason, and I don't know if this is just me being spacey or weird or whatever, but I feel like to be a creative person and to have that outlet and have that need to create, we tend to view it as a blessing and a curse.
Yeah.
And we need to just really start viewing it as a blessing, because when you read someone saying, your lyrics were there for me when nobody else was.
You know, I was ready to end my life and this, and it's true. And dude, I think that's what you were just saying, you know, just the whole picture of it, you know, like the reason people like us have so much anxiety and all is we're like creative people tend to have, and this is not a good thing, but I think creative people tend to suffer more anxiety and depression and things like this here and there than, you know, the regular 9-to-5 guy that just works, you know, at the warehouse unloading trucks or something, because our minds just work in a different way. Not that these people are any less intelligent or any less important, you know, but our minds are always, like my mind, it never at all, like right now the Grieve riff is in my head. Never, no matter what's going on, do I not have music in my head. And sometimes I'm like, am I nuts?
Yeah.
Like literally, like, is there something wrong with me? Because I never don't have a song in my head ever.
Yeah.
It could be anything, you know, but right now I got, dun, dun, dun,
dun. Right?
And it'll probably be in there all day.
And I'll hear something and I got to make it musical. like that's how I memorize things.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's how I, like if I have a doctor's appointment, you know, and it's like Tuesday, February 8th at 9, you know, like, that's what I have to
Not
do.
Not a bad hook either.
Right. And so, and so I think about, you know, in the past, like being married to the structure, and you're right, you're exactly right about what you said, is no one's, like the type A, is that what they call it? Like type A personality? Like they're not less than a creative personality. I actually envy those people who have structure, who have routine, who dot their I's and cross their T's.
Right, right.
They know exactly how much they have in the bank. They know every amount. They're organized. Their shirts are in order. I mean, I seriously envy those people. And I used to make excuses, and I still make excuses. I go, I thrive in chaos, right? Because creative is chaos in a way.
Yeah,
and
it is in a way.
Hey, everybody, hope you're enjoying the show so far with Kirk Winstein. I want to remind you today's episode is brought to you by Rebel 8, by far one of my favorite streetwear brands, some of the most comfortable gear I own. I really appreciate them sponsoring the show, and this is the only place where you can get a 20% off discount over at rebel8.com, so make sure you go check out the site today. You'll see they have some collabs with Slayer. And, you know, they've worked with Terror, Rancid, but now they got this new Slayer capsule with a ton of really great limited edition designs. And, you know, I love this brand. You see me rocking it in all the new Hatebreed press photos, in the new Hatebreed video, on tour with Parkway Drive later in the year. And it's just some of the most comfortable quality clothing that I own. Check out Rebel8.com. Use the promo code JOSTA20 and give them a follow on Instagram at Rebel8, R-E-B-E-L, and the number 8. And tell them Josta sent you. Now back to the show. When you get, I guess, in this industry, and we both, you obviously, you know, had success with Crowbar early on, and you knew, you know, the band could sell 100,000 units, and this was a band that people were saying, oh, this, how are you going to market these, you know,
Bunch of fat ball guys playing a style of music that didn't even really exist at the time.
Right. Meanwhile, me, you know, some punk kid, you know, from the Northeast, you know, I'm listening to your lyrics and you know, your tape was stuck in our first tour van, our old red van. I mean, we had that tape in there the whole tour. I mean, we knew it word for word, and the words resonated with us. And then in those drives where, you know, we're pursuing this crazy dream.
Right.
People are like, you're crazy. Get a job. Go to college.
Oh, I've heard it all.
Why are you doing this? And that was, and your music was our soundtrack. And then, you know, you sell a bunch of demos, you sell a bunch of t-shirts, and the kids like, we can't wait for when you guys come back. We're going to see you when you come back. And we go, wow, we're on to something.
Yeah.
It's easy to look at it now. Hindsight is 2020. But that tour for 3 years, do another record, that's out the window now. We have to learn from the other genres, you know, the country artists where they're like, I'm going to do a movie, then I'm going to do a live show, then I'm going to do one tour. I mean, some of these country acts, they don't even go to Europe.
No, I know.
How crazy is
that? No, here's something for you. Other than, okay, we're talking about one of the most famous musicians, singers of all time. I'm talking about Elvis Presley. He never played a show outside of the United States. He did the 1973 Via Satellite, which I remember watching as an 8-year-old kid. My mom's like, oh, my God, Elvis. Like, it was a Via Satellite thing, like, from Hawaii, but that's part of the U.S. But he never played a show outside of the United States.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, toward the end of his career, it was a Vegas thing, but still, he never played, you know, South America, Germany, Japan, you know, whatever. He never played outside the U.S.
Yeah.
I'm 99% sure. You know, I'm pretty good with my musical facts.
Well, I had been reading about the Beatles, like, really got their start in Germany.
Right, they did, in Hamburg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, obviously became a worldwide phenomenon. But that, I had also heard that they didn't really tour that much. Like, there was only like a 3 or 4 year period where they toured, and then they just focused on the recording.
Yeah, the last few records, they were just like, we're the biggest band in the world, we don't need to tour. And they were able to make songs that they probably couldn't pull off live without, you know, like this, everything just got deeper and deeper and I like the later Beatles as they got older, better, more and more and more. But I mean, when you're starting out with, I want to hold your hand, you know, they could pull that off live. But, you know, it started to get where they just concentrated on, let's just make the best record we can make, the best album we can make. And we're not to be dicks, but they, you know, I'd be the same way. Hey, I don't have to leave my fucking house. I just go to the, once the record's done, I'm good, man.
Well, that's what's so cool to me. Like, thinking about that, like, I hope that we can change the business in a way where we can do more creative output without the stress of having to constantly tour, be away from our families, you know, not have that routine of like a type A person, like, cause we leave and like, we have someone that'll like help with the bills or help with landscaping or whatever. Like, and this is something I've talked about a bunch on the podcast. Like I believe me, I wish that I could do the plumbing. I wish I could paint. I wish, you know, like scrape my deck and paint my deck. I don't want to pay this guy thousands of dollars. But I'm not, I really believe I wasn't put on earth to do that.
Me either. I mean, I can barely hammer a nail. It's the truth. Luckily, I have like a plumber friend, an electrician friend, you know, I got a, you name it, I got it. And, you know, it's good. Well, I mean, I rent now. Instead of owning, but when I did own a house, I was like, all right, I got an air conditioning guy. I got a, you know, I had like a friend that was a good buddy that was good at, had their own business and every possible bullshit I would have to deal with, you know?
Yeah. Well, I've been thinking about it because I want to, you know, obviously I always pitch you projects and I always pitch you things. And I knew we were going to talk about Kingdom and I knew that, you know, maybe we could probably get together end of 2021 or early 2022. But what I really wanted to pitch you and talk to you about today was, you know, seeing the way the hip hop artists and the way the country artists have done the films, the TV shows, the documentaries, I really think with the Riff Beast brand, we need to do a film and focus on you, but then also focus on the Wolves, the Tommy Victors, the Kenny Hickeys, and the unsung, you know, real Riff Beasts, like. You got to see this documentary that they did for the Laurel Canyon music with David Crosby.
Oh wow!
You got to see it. It's on Netflix.
Yeah, I would definitely. What's it called?
It's called Echo in the Canyon or Echo. I think it's called Echo in the Canyon or Echoes in the Canyon. It's Jacob Dylan, Bob Dylan's son.
Yeah, yeah.
What's it called, Brian?
Was he in the Wallflowers?
Echoes in the Canyon. Yeah.
Yeah.
Echo. That's the Wallflowers guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So he pays tribute to all this music and tells the stories and goes to the studios and interviews. I mean, he got some big names in there. Dude, he's got like Beach Boys. He's got Brian Wilson in there.
Wow, that's killer, dude.
It's great. And I thought we could do the same thing and then do a show, but we can do the real unsung Riff Beasts. And I thought people would love that. People would love to see you get up and sing Balls to the Wall and play it with Wolf. You know what I mean?
Right, right. And, no, I mean, totally.
And this is something... Obviously, we will try to do. We've already done the Jost. We've brought to a lot of ideas to fruition.
No, definitely, definitely.
The solo, both of the solo albums, the Jost and Friends tour. Now, hopefully, by the end of the year, hopefully, we'll get some sort of Riff Beast tour going. We did the merch, but the film I think is really the next step because. And I was thinking about all the documentaries and all the tape trading and all the videos that we used to watch, like.
Oh, yeah.
Going to the record store, I would buy the VHS.
Me too. I still have, well, I do. I still have quite a bit of them. I have no way to watch them, but.
and I was thinking, yeah, that's, if we had a streaming platform for it other than YouTube, or maybe we just put it out on YouTube. I don't know. I don't know how that would work with the publishing.
Right.
But if we're performing songs that we loved the riffs and we focus on the riffs, if we own the master, then we could have an easier time of getting it on a big streaming platform. And I know we've talked about this before where I felt like, you know, in various other documentaries, you guys didn't get the, you know, the proper credit that you should get. But that's why you got to go out and pave your own way and you got to do these things, right? It's
totally.
Like the age old saying, like if you don't do it yourself,
yeah,
it's not done right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so... After the Sepultura Sacred Rite Crowbar tour, which is going out in March, everybody go get their tickets. There's so much good music coming out. Did you hear the new Sepultura?
No.
Dude,
I ran into Derek at Dime Bash, but we chatted for a couple of minutes, but I haven't. I gotta get it.
Play it's off the name of the album is Quadra. The song is called Isolation. Talk about a riff beast. He's another one. Andreas Kisser.
Oh, dude, he's unbelievable.
He's so good. I was thinking, he's another one. We just go, we'll go to their show, we'll get some really nice cameras, we'll get a great director of photography, and you and me will talk to Andreas, we'll find out when the riff came to him.
Right, right.
And, you know, how, whatever, like play, and this is a guy like 30 years into his career, still writing ripping riffs.
Oh, he rips on guitar too, man. He's crazy.
Oh, yeah. Dude, but so skip ahead a little bit. Just listen to this. And this drummer kid, I know there's haters like, you know, no Igor, no Sepultura, whatever. But if you were going to get anybody to fill in for Igor, this kid is a beast. Listen to this riff. Dude, this shit's on fire.
It's monstrous. It is, dude.
Oh my God, my hair's standing up. Listen to that.
It is.
Look at that. This shit's hard. I love the modulation, right? Is that what they call that? Where they go to the little different...
Dude, you got me because I got zero. You probably know more theory than I do. Literally. Anyway. People always ask me, and I'm like, I said, man, I don't know. And like, what chord is it that you... I don't know.
Look, I love both camps. I stay out of it.
Yeah,
I know there's bad blood, whatever. Max is on this record, but Andreas and Igor and Derek and Paulo, I mean, they gave Hatebreed a first European tour.
I saw y'all at House of Blues. With Igor, but with Derek singing, but with Igor on drums, yeah.
Dude, we raged that night.
Yes, we did.
Oh, my God. Dude, someone posted the flyer of Bloodlet, Soylent Green, Hatebreed, and somebody Entombed.
No way.
Where I met you, and it was at this place, like, it had like a Caribbean name, or like Parrot Jack's, or like, I forget what the name of it was.
It was in New Orleans?
Yeah, or it was outside of New Orleans. But let me see if I could find it. But it was, I can't tell the story of what happened at the show on the podcast. But you saw me in the bathroom, and I was like, oh my God, Kirk. Entombed. I gotta ask Biffin about it. Do you remember Biffin? Do you ever meet Biffin?
It doesn't ring a bell, actually.
Biffin was on tour with Entombed. It was raining that night, and they loaded out naked.
Oh, Jesus.
Because they didn't want their clothes getting wet. But I gotta look. I gotta find this flyer. But the show... This place, I know you know the venue because you were there at the show, but let me see if I can find it real quick. Shit, I should have had this already pulled up.
See, I mean, downtown, they had a lot of venues. I mean, you know, in Metairie, all we had
was
Zeppelins, but...
It was called... Oh, wait, it is. It's Zeppelins.
Okay.
Well, live on stage at Zeppelins. Entombed, Soylent Green, Hatebreed, Bloodlet.
Actually, Robin was probably working the bartender at that show.
18th and Hesmer.
Hesmer, yeah.
Yeah.
Avenue. It's like two blocks from Pat's Pubs.
So, but I feel, and I remember talking to you before that, right? Because we had played with Crowbar before, and you were like, yeah, you know, the scene's small, but back then it was hard. Like, when you go to the South, it was really hard to get shows.
Well, it was, because, I mean, it is, compared to up here, I mean, y'all got it made as far as, you know, you can play 10 shows and you're only a few hours from home. We got, you know... Our next big city is Houston, you know, from New Orleans. So
right, like
it's six and a half hours away.
And there wasn't, like, when you first started out, you wouldn't just go and play like in Jackson or Mobile, or would you?
We did, but I mean, it was such small shows, you know, it's such small towns, you know. I mean, there's not much around us other than New Orleans, which is small in itself, really.
And when I worked at Bay Ridge, right, like I would go in and I would work with Ben and with Ken, and shout out to Ken Creedy and John Finberg. And I remember seeing the routings, and I would remember like seeing like Jacksonville, day off Houston, or Tampa,
right,
Tallahassee, day off Houston. I'd be like, well, where, these are big cities. Like, where's the scene in Birmingham? Where's the scene in Mobile and Jackson and Biloxi and Pensacola?
They're so small.
But they've kind of popped up. Like, with You, Goat Whore, Gwar, a bunch of bands. This is what I wanted to say. And also with COC.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to do a little, you know, I wanted to say, obviously, my condolences to, you know, everybody affected by Reed's passing.
Right. Yeah, that's terrible, man.
It's so sad. But, you know, in reading the tributes, I was like really moved because like the scene in North Carolina, like he really changed the scene. Like he booked bands.
I know. I knew he was like, I didn't know how involved he was with everything. Like he did that there where what you did in your area, really, you know, and it's true. I didn't know, you know, he's running his own little, he's a teenager, you know, printing up shit out of his house or, you know, whatever, just doing all the stuff, promoting shows, getting the whole scene happening. And I mean, it's strange because that is such a small scene as well. You know, I mean, Raleigh, North Carolina is not the biggest, it's not New York City, you know, it's not. But yeah, they were wonderful. You know, he was great with that, man. And it's a sad, you know, loss to the whole world, you know, music world.
Yeah, I wanted to just mention it because I do remember doing like Raleigh day off Miami or Raleigh or you know, Charlotte day off New Orleans. And now with the scene popping up in all these little different places, like we have a tour, it's not announced yet, but we are going to some smaller, like off the beaten path cities. And it is because of the work that you've done and the work that, you know, a lot of bands and managers and agents and especially COC and bands that have, you know, made the time, right? And it's a risk to go to.
No, it is.
You've always done the Savannahs and the Macons and the, you know.
Because there's nothing in, it's like, we can't afford to only play A markets or just A and B markets. I was looking at the map on my phone yesterday looking, is there anything between Lubbock, Texas and El Paso, Texas? And there's literally like dirt.
Odessa.
there's a Midlands, Texas, which looks pretty close to El Paso. So I'm like, but unless you go way out of the way and then come back, it's like there's nothing in between, you know, on a day off to fill a show.
Yeah. Dude, when I was looking at your routing and I saw Lubbock and El Paso and all those shows, and even the shows on the way back, like Vegas and whatnot, I started looking up my miles because I have a lot of miles and I thought, how fun would it be if I just paid for everybody's tickets and miles and I just fly out and open for you with Jostin? Like, we'll just fucking do a podcast or whatever.
Doing.
But I was definitely hopped up on about 16 cups of coffee and I was all amped up. And then once I crashed, I was like, I can't do this. I got too much shit to do. But because we had done, like, I think it was Las Cruces, and I was like, man, I don't think we're ever coming back. So, like, I thank you to those people that are here, because I don't know when we'll have an opportunity to come back.
It's true.
But I think that with more collaborations or with more people finding out about the music, I think we are going to go back to that time when we could go to the Memphises and the Fayetteville, Arkansas.
See, I don't understand why. You know, okay, we're in New York right now, in New York City. So every band that's ever existed that's out right now, they all play here. We all do it, you know, or at least Brooklyn or something right here. And it's like, when you're playing in a town that I've barely even heard of, you would think that whoever the metalhead kids are would be like, oh my God, they're actually like, sometimes we've done it and people are like, oh, they're not coming here. It's a bunch of bullshit. You know, at least now, this is back in the day, at least now we have like social media stuff with events and whatnot to let, you know, you can check on the club's event. Yeah, they really are coming. People would think that they're not going to come play here.
I know.
Like dudes would show up, they wouldn't buy a ticket or anything. They'd show up. Oh God, y'all really here? We're like, yeah, man, we're about to unload the van in a little bit, you know. And it's like, okay, man, let me go tell all my buddies. We'll be back some beer in a little while. Woo!
Dude, that's so funny you brought that up because that happened to us in Ithaca, New York. People came to the bus and knocked and said,
Is this Hatebreed?
Hatebreed's playing in Ithaca. We're like, yeah, we're here. We're playing tonight. Oh my God.
Yeah.
And that was used to be a spot. Like you could, like if you did Syracuse or Rochester on one tour, the next tour you could do Ithaca, and the promoters used to say that was cool. Now it's like the radiuses are even wider.
Yeah.
Where if you do Albany and Rochester, you can't do Buffalo and Syracuse. You got to wait for the next, you know.
Dude, we'd actually do better on with the radius stuff and all if we just set everything up on a flatbed truck put a gigantic tip jar and just rode down Interstate 10 going real slow and like, yeah, throw some tips in, man.
Here's where we're going
to
be.
Right, right. On our way to such and such.
It's so cool that you're in New York and that E1's, you know, this is a real frontline release for them and that you're doing a real press tour, promo tour, radio. And I saw, you know, you did takeover for Sirius, which was awesome.
Yeah, yeah, that was great.
My daughter sent me a screenshot and she's like, look, Kirk's on the radio.
Tell her hi.
For sure, I will. We always used to laugh because one time you were on speaker and you were like, how's things over at the Raging Castle of Buster? She still brings that up.
Dude, she answered the phone. What happened is I was on speaker and she heard it and she was quite young, you know. And then I called your house phone because your cell was dead or something. And she's like, hello, this is the Raging Castle of Buster. I mean, that's who I am. And I'm like, oh my God.
So we still refer to our house as that. Yeah. But it's great to see you and it's great to have you.
Before, thanks as always, man.
Before we get out of here, we're going to read some emails.
Read some fucking email, you bastard. Read some fucking email, just to show at Gmail.
All right, so first email comes from Ryan Reed. The subject line is episode 502. He writes in, Jamie, I'm crying laughing over here. I need to be fit for a suit. I don't want to play Russian roulette. Oh, Russell. Okay, so Howard Jones's episode, I was like saying, you know, with those Valentine's is coming up, so, you know, those Russell Stover candies?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was like, before you had the glossary to know what it was, like you'd bite into it, you're playing Russell roulette. You'd bite into it and be like, shit, I got a fucking orange cream.
Right, right. Some of them are weird.
Ryan continues to write here, thank you for all the music, the pod, you're the greatest. Big and practical Jokers fan, would love to hear Sal on the pod. Brian Quinn is on a regular podcast and enjoys some metal, so I bet he would be interested. Brian Quinn and Sal had a pod called What You Say. They did a long run of podcasts just on the Fast and Furious along the lines of How Awesome Is This? It was hilarious. Bring that Joss and Friends business to Idaho. I will be there in an instant. Thanks again, PMA to the Grave, Coffee Death Metal Pushups. Scrape a layer off the fangs, take a Khalifa, and jump in the rain box. Oh, right, because I told Howard. Yeah, so I was telling Howard about the Kirkisms.
Yeah, yeah.
And we still say all of them. Scrape a layer off the fangs is so good.
Dude, when I texted you yesterday, like, I woke up to, you know, Kirk, can you give me a call? And I'm like, yeah, let me jump in a rain box and I'll give you a show back.
But take a Khalifa is possibly the most hilarious.
The right before you go on stage, you always have to take a piss. So one night I'm like, we call it a whiz, you know. I'm like, hang on, fellas, I got to take a Wiz Khalifa. And then, so now it just turned into like, no one says whiz anymore. It's just, dude, hang on, let me do it. A quick Khalifa, I'll be right up.
So good. But yeah, we have to do a whole episode. Once we have more time, we have to do a whole episode of Kirkisms. Because I was thinking of other ones, and I was in the studio with Nikki and with Wayne. Oh, with Zeus, and Zeus was reminding me of ones from the studio. But one great, like Kirk's comebacks are so, he's so quick and witty. Like he's like on the level of like a Jim Norton, like is when it comes to comedic timing and stuff. So we would do a take on the Kingdom record and Nikki would be like, oh, try that one again. It was just a hair flat. And he'd be like, your face is going to be a hair flat when I come in there, Buster. Like just the
off the cuff.
Yes. You know, can you try that take again? And you're just a little sharp on that one line. You know what else is sharp? The knife I'm going to stab you with later.
Dude, it's true.
Well, there was one where it was like, I don't know, it was like we were depressed about something and you were like, call me back. And you're like, I'm going to bite them both and run a hot one or something.
Run a water, a hot tub. Rip the veins out of both wrists.
Not even slice your wrist, just bite them.
Right. I didn't have a handy knife.
Bite them both and run a hot one. Terrible. It's so great. Well, Kirk, always great to see you. Everybody go get Dream in Motion. Check it out right here on my, can you see it right here? Okay, so he signed a bunch and I brought him some Kingdoms.
Yes, we
to sign, and we will put these up in Martyr Store. I gotta sign them too. And And thank you again. Everybody go get the record, martyrstore.net, or there's still merch now. Just search Kirk Winstein on merch now. Go see you on tour with Sepultura, Sacred Reich. And what's the opening band?
Art of Shock.
Art of Shock.
Yeah.
Tickets are on sale now. And yeah, brother, we'll see you soon.
You got it. Thanks as always, man. Love you.
Love
you.
Appreciate
it, brother.
Appreciate it. If you are listening to the outro after the outro, thank you so much. I always put in a little bit of content into the outro after the outro just because without you guys and girls out there supporting our sponsors, we could not do this show. And of course, without the support of, you know, like our web store, martyrstore.net, which we have some signed items up now. There you go. We got some old Hatebreed tour merch. As you can see, Kirk signed some Symmetry in Black. He signed, we still got some tour shirts left over, some Josta shirts. Oh, there you go. There's the podcast donation sale right there. You see there in the middle of the screen. I will personalize an 8x10, and it comes with two stickers, and you get a shout-out on the podcast. But you could just donate at Venmo, too, if you want, at Jamie Josta or at paypal.me/Josta. And thank you to everyone who's been sending nice messages about the tour. Looking forward to coming out and seeing everybody in August and September. I am getting hit up about the live podcast, and we're going to try for that. So if depending on these, we don't play a lot of these markets a lot. I realize some of them are, you know, whatever, an hour away from a major city or 45 minutes or a half hour or whatever. So if you have, like, say for Trenton, people are like, are you going to do a live podcast? I don't know any venues in Trenton. I don't know if you do, Brian, but if there's a small place and I have time, I'm going to do one or two live podcasts during the tour. I might do them on the off nights if I fly to the next show, but keep the podcast live show suggestions and venues coming. I realize I say this a lot and then we don't follow through, but it's just because of the scheduling and making sure we have the tour manager talk to the driver and figure out if we can get there, if we could do, you know, on a Saturday or Sunday, like we have in the past with Jesse or with Randy. You know, they don't mind. They'll be like, hey, yeah, well, let's do it at 2 p.m. or 3 p.m. and we'll do a meet and greet and we'll do the live podcast. So I got to check with Winston or maybe Ben. We'll see. Maybe Brian from Knock Loose wants to do one. He did one with me at a Warped Tour. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. Just send some suggestions, jostashow@gmail.com. And we did announce an off-day show. We're not announcing a lot of off-day shows, but we do have another... I think we have another tour announcement coming next week. So just keep your eyes peeled for all the social media. But we announced an off-day show in Prague with Stick to Your Guns. And then I think Stick to Your Guns is announcing another, like, Holland off-day show. But we're not doing that one because we are already on Pass Pop, the festival. And Pass Pop, you know, when you sign the contract, they say you can't play within, you know, X amount of miles from here or whatever. So, but who knows? Maybe I could do the podcast with Josh. Everybody's been hitting me up. Get Josh James back on the podcast. He's got the best stories. So believe me, I will try to get Josh. Maybe I can do the podcast with Josh in Holland that day. They play the off day show. Today's episode is brought to you by Ridge Wallet. Actually, the Ridge, just in general, they make awesome products. If you're watching on YouTube, you'll see here's the wallet. Here's the phone case. Look at this thing. Like I was saying earlier in the show, they're like the Black Sabbath of accessories for people. You know, it's heavy duty. You can always go to it. It's always going to be there for you and work, and it's valuable, right? Black Sabbath just had the 50th anniversary, I think, which is fucking crazy. Are you rocking Black Sabbath merch right now? Look at this, Brian. Wait, we don't have a camera that we can point at you, but that's great.
It's from the anniversary tour.
It is?
Yeah.
Oh, that's killer. I love them. I'm going to listen to Black Sabbath on the train home today. Also got to thank Rebel 8. Big shout out to Rebel 8. I can't wait to see all the new gear. I am doing a giveaway on my Instagram. Go to the Parkway Drive ad mat. The poster for the tour, go to it. Tag your friend. If you're hearing this on Thursday, I'm going to pick the winners Thursday night. I'm not going to pick them. Nikki or someone at the studio will help me pick them. I'm going to just like scroll and he's going to point. And we'll randomly pick some people to spread, spread the 8 to get them some Rebel 8 gear. And I'll give away a Ridge wallet too. And I'll give away, some Lakeside Maple, or I have some supplements still from the Reserve, which hopefully the Reserve is going to come back on board as a sponsor. My link is still up. If anybody wants to check out fromthereserve.com/Josta, they're giving away 30% off to Josta Show listeners. So thank you to the Reserve. Thank you to Ridge. Go to ridge.com, RIDGE.com. Use the promo code JOSTA. You will love their backpacks, their chargers, their wallets. Didn't they have a knife too recently? Or is that just like a limited one-off, like 800 knives they did or something?
Let me look.
I forget, but I know they did something as a one-off and I was like, shit, I got to do that. But that bag I have is the best travel bag. Everybody else's bag comes off the conveyor belt there and they're soaked like all the way through. Their laundry was all wet, not mine, because Ridge was totally waterproof. The bag it's incredible. Well worth the money in a bag that's going to last, because everybody who travels knows, like my backpack, you can't see it here in the frame, but the top is already ripped off. That's because it's not a Ridge backpack. Thank you to Indie Merch as well. I'm really psyched to be working with Indie Merch, and I see that they just keep killing it with all these new pre-orders, all these great products, all these cool flags and colored vinyl. And you know, it's a great place to go for any like real metal collector, you know, whether you like black metal, death metal, hardcore metal, metalcore, deathcore. Check it out, indiemerchstore.com. Use the promo code 15JASTA. And then yeah, we already plugged martyrstore.net. Who else do we got to get in there? We plugged Rebel 8. Big thanks to Rebel 8. Ridge, Lakeside Maple. I had that trail mix this morning on the train, the chai one. It's the best. They got nut butter too. You got to order their nut butter. Put it on like graham crackers or put it on fucking...
I'm going to tell Ralph to start stocking it here.
Seriously, you got to get it. Oh, that reminds me too. Body Count hit me up. We got to send them mud water. Shout out to Vince. Shout out to Vince and Body Count. I got your message. I have not had time to respond to anybody between the audition this morning and then coming here to do this. And then we're coming back. I got Jim Florentine coming on. I think I got Sean the Butcher coming on. I think Jessica from Orange is the New Black, Jessica Pimentel. How do you say it? Do you know? I think she's coming in. I got a bunch of great shows coming up, but I've just been so busy, I haven't been able to hit everybody back. So we got to send Vince some mud water and check out MUDWTR.com. And the code is drink mud. We need to get our own Josta code, like mud Josta or
right
something.
Right now, nobody has their own. Like,
JJ mud. Code. Really?
Yeah. Everyone's using that code. Like Legion of Skanks, you guys, BYM, everyone's using drink mud.
Okay. All right. Well, that's it for now, everybody. Thank you again. If you got your tickets, I will let you know about the meet and greets as soon as I can. Some of these are big theaters and small arenas, so I think they're going to be doable. It's not like a club show where it's kind of hard to find a spot to do the meet and greet if it's like, you know, if the bands are still setting up drums and stuff on the floor or if the security's still setting up the barricade. I'm pretty sure when we did the Slipknot dates and when we did the Five Finger Death Punch dates and maybe when we did the Black Label Society dates too at the bigger theaters, the tour manager was cool about us still doing a VIP, like, you know, an hour before doors or something. So if we do, I will let everyone here know at first. And of course, you know, we'll get it up on SoundRink, who I'm hoping is going to come back on as a sponsor. Could you mind pulling up SoundRink.com real quick? Shout out to Scott Lee and everybody. I think I have a meeting with him soon, too. And if SoundRink comes back on board as a sponsor, that'd be great, because I see the talk about these VIPs more and more. Like, I saw the guy from Striper. So they're doing Dream Theater Midland. Who's that? I'm not familiar with them, but if it'll be up. Oh, Dashboard Confessional. What is this? 20 years of Dashboard. I remember him. He's still kicking it. That's awesome. He was down for the core, like, originally, right? Like, before he went, like, emo, wasn't he in, like, a hardcore band or something?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of crossover, like, hardcore scene, Dashboard Confessional, like, all tight pants.
Yeah, like, if you like softer music, it's, like, that's one that's okay because he was, like, sort of down with the core. Okay, yeah. So anyways, yeah, the meet and greets, if we do them, they'll be up on SoundRink.com first. And yeah, I think that's about it. So what for episode 508, we got Giannis Pappas, I think, coming in. A great, great comedian. He's got a hilarious... My daughter listened to this podcast. She's cracking up. Go to Giannis Pappas Comedy. Is it GiannisPappas.com or GiannisPappasComedy.com? Can you pull that up on the screen for those of you who are watching on YouTube? But he's got some gigs coming up. I think Gotham Comedy Club. I think he's got... Uncle Vinny's too, maybe?
Yeah, out in Jersey.
Yeah. Let's plug his dates too, because I want to get some Josta Show listeners to his shows. He's great. He would be great. They should get History Hyenas on Gas Digital. What's going on with that? We got to push for that.
I feel like that's a conversation that
that we shouldn't have on the air.
Maybe.
But yeah, there it is.
Giannis Papastatos.
Shout out to all the
comedy.
So we know we got a lot of Greeks in the hardcore scene. He was never down with heavy music. I think he was more into like, you know, hip hop and R&B and stuff, but that's all right. Yo, there's the shows right there. February 21st, 22nd at Gotham Comedy Club. Go check out Giannis. And then February 28th, 29th at Uncle Vinny's in Point Pleasant, New Jersey. And Giannis is coming in next. That's it, everybody. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Ralph. Everybody here at Gas Digital. And yeah, I'll be back with Giannis Papas. Love you all. Thank you all. Drink your coffee. Do your push-ups. Listen to death metal. Bye-bye.